Brother Owen is going to talk with us about the raising of Lazarus. And the part that we have to take on. What is our part? Of course, when Verlin gave me this this outline, I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, well, what's the angle? It bothered me, so I had to call him again last night. I'm like, where is Owen going to be going with this? And I'm trying to frame my little words, and I read it, and he helped me with it. But you know, there's a lot of lessons that I've heard about this miracle. But because of what Jesus has done for us, you know, he's just made everything ready. But he didn't just, you know, grab us by the ear and just say, hey, you're going to heaven. You know, shove us on the door. It reminds me when I was a little boy and we were drug off to the different various places of people worshiped, or called worship anyway. You know, a little boy, I didn't want to go, you know. And, you know, everybody was going to different places. But I remember grabbing me up. Oh, you going. You're going. But that's not the way it is with God. He sent his son to die. He prepared a way for us to get there. We have to help ourselves from that point on. There's something we must do. We have to cooperate with the Lord. And that's necessary. He's done his part. He will not do for us the things that we can do for ourselves. And so I'm interested in what he's got to say, so I'm just going to move on out of the way and let Owen come on up to us.
As Wayne mentioned, it is good to see everyone that come back out. And I'm glad that y'all were able to come and hear the other speakers, including me. And I encourage you to turn with me as we discuss the raising of Lazarus and how we must do our part. Let's start by reading John 11, verses 1 through 7. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode about 2 days still in the place where he was. And after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go unto Judea. In verses 1 through 3 and 5, we can clearly see that Jesus loves and cares for this family. In John 12, 1 through 3, it says, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came unto Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, and spikenard very costly, and anointed his feet, the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. We can see that Mary and Martha and Lazarus were all a very big part of his final years. And we see that he had a real reason to weep when he heard about Lazarus. In verse 4, we see that Jesus prophesies of how the resurrection of Lazarus and the death of him would not be permanent. He explains that this miracle was going to be to glorify God. Let's move on to John 11, verses 8 through 10. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou hither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. In verse 6, we see that time does not control God. While we're talking about time, it brings up an important question. Did Jesus wait for Lazarus to die? In John 10, in verse 40, it says, And he went away beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. We can also read John 1 and verse 28. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. These two verses tells us of where Jesus was. If you look at the map, you can see Jesus was up around this area in this top circle. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were down here in Bethany, and we can see that's about a 20-mile journey. And we know that this journey was about at least a day of travel, plus they had to find them. Let's recount some of the days that they took. On the first day, the messenger from Mary and Martha traveled to meet them. The next 2 days, we can see that Jesus stayed in the same place. And on day 4, he traveled west to Bethany. If we look in verse 17 of John 11, we see that Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days, which means by the time the messenger got to them, he was already dead. So we can see that he did not wait, that he already knew that he was dead. In verses 9 and 10 of chapter 11, he tells us that we have a limited time to work, but that the work must be done. It also says that Jesus knows what's in store, but that we have to demonstrate that the Lord's work comes before everything. Let's now read John 11, verses 11 through 16. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. We see that Jesus knows Lazarus is dead, even without being there or knowing, because he is God on earth. He says that he is going to use this miracle as an opportunity to glorify God. He mentions to the disciples that he was glad they weren't there so that they could believe on him. John 11, verses 17 through 29 says, Then when Jesus came, he found that he was laying in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning her brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, that he believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. In verse 17, Jesus finds out that Lazarus has actually been dead for 4 days. In verse 19, it says that there are many people with them. This gives Jesus an opportune time to teach them. In verse 21, Martha went to meet him and said that if Jesus had been there, Lazarus would not have died. We know that Jesus could and can still save Lazarus. Let's look at some examples. In Luke 7, verses 12 through 15, it says, Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say to you, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. We see here that Jesus was definitely capable of saving someone's life, even when dead. We can also look in Luke 8, verse 49 through 56. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came unto the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she rose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. So we can see Jesus was fully capable of saving lives. But we also know that he didn't have to be there. Let's look at Matthew 8:8-13. Matthew 8:8-13. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to him that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed it, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So we also see that Jesus did not have to be there to save Lazarus. In verse 21 of John 11, Martha knew that he was capable of bringing Lazarus back. And in verse 23, Jesus confirms that he could. In verse 24, we see that Martha took his reply, meaning the final resurrection. But Jesus replies saying that he is the resurrection and that God can do all things. In verse 27, Martha acknowledged him for being Christ, the Son of God. In verses 28 and 29, Mary is called with them and comes to meet them. Now let's read John 11, verses 30 through 38. John 11, 30 through 38. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. We can see that Jesus is saddened by their grief and weeps with them. They then decide to travel to the tomb where Lazarus was buried. In verses 37 and 38, the people asked among themselves, why couldn't have Jesus stopped Lazarus from dying? Jesus groans, it hurt, but he knew what he was about to do was for their betterment. In this picture, we can see this is kind of like a tomb that Lazarus would have been in. It had a big stone wheel shape that would have fit into the door where it wouldn't have let anything in or out. Let's read John 11, 39 through 44. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where he died, where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou heardst me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, and cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave cloths, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. We see for the rest of this miracle to happen that the people had to do their part. They had to start by rolling away the stone. They also had to unwrap the body. The reason Jesus gets them to remove the stone was so that they know there was no trickery involved. We know in verse 39 that the tomb and the body would have stunk. They needed to see that Lazarus was bound and left in the same way. And even Lazarus had to walk out himself. Let's read John 11, 45 and 46. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. There was many people that believed in Jesus and what he did after seeing Lazarus walk out, but some still didn't. We know that this miracle had a great impact. Let's read John 12, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was which and had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he cared, because he was a thief, had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. We can see here that this miracle had a big effect on the future. It not only made many people believe, seeing Lazarus risen, but it also allowed for them to know that Jesus had the power and that he was the true Son of God. In conclusion, we understand that God has the power to raise the dead, but the people had to roll away the stone and undo Lazarus' bindings. God does for us what we cannot do ourselves, but he still expects us to do our part of the job. God has given us a message, but we still have to read it, listen, and apply. Let's read James 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Let's also read John 14, verses 15 through 23. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pay the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, Not Iscariot, Lord. How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and make our abode with him. We can see that in many places Jesus has told us that we have to read, but also obey the commandments that he's given us and keep them. Jesus also became a sacrifice for our sins, but we must be willing to repent of our sins and have them removed. In Romans 5 and verse 8, it says, But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, it says, For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge if one died for all, then we're all dead. Let's read Acts 2 and verse 38. Acts 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent ye, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We see here that we not only have to hear like before, but that we have to believe and be baptized and remove our sins. Jesus has also made a way for us to go to heaven, but we must decide to live faithfully. Let's read John 14, verses 1 through 4. John 14, 1 through 4. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. We can also read Revelation 2 and verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. We see that God has prepared us a place to go after death, but we have to live faithfully and do his work to get there. As we finish off tonight, or this evening, I want to leave you with a question. God has done his part. Are you willing to do yours? We have many things that we have to do, and we all need to be thinking on how to do them and how we could do our part. Thanks for listening.
Good job. I appreciate that. See, now I know the whole complete thing now, and did a good job, and we have a part, and like I said from the beginning, God just don't dragged us into heaven. We've got to do a part. We've got to show him and prove to him that we love him and that we appreciate what he's done for us, to the point that we're willing to die, having lived faithful to the end. Then we can have that crown of righteousness. He's just not going to give it to us. He died that we might live. But if we want to live, we've got to be faithful. We've got to do our part. It just doesn't come automatic. There's some work to be done. You know, there was that play with words, and that there was those who said that he was dead. And then, you know, Jesus said, well, he's just sleeping. You know, we've got to pick which one we want to be. You know, we can live in a way that we're just dead. And then when we come before him in the judgment, we'll die a second death. Or we can just die to the sins of this world. And we're just sleeping until he wakes us up again and he gives us life. Raise us from the dead and gives us life eternal. So we just have to choose what we want. But we have to work. We have to do our part. Appreciate that. We're going to take a 10-minute break. And then Brother Verlin is going to come up from the rear and give us one more lesson. Thank you. We'll come back in 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's why you turn around. Is it hotter in the car? No, I don't do it. It's good, Jeff.